Podcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. They were pricked to their heart. Him you've taken, you've crucified him. What should we do? Repent. Change your mind about who he is. This is good stuff. Because he's talking to decidedly religious Jewish people who had an understanding of the law, their culpability. And he says, you've just now gotten to the place where you said, what must we do? And he says, you need to change your mind about Jesus. Which I think is pretty exciting because he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And now they're getting forgiven. That's pretty cool because 3,000 got saved that day of the people who killed him. And subsequently, he says, now be baptized on account of the remission of sins. Now that you get it, get baptized. Back up a second. Philippians. You remember Paul in Acts chapter 16? That was Acts chapter 2 a moment ago. Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer. What was said? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, he was talking decidedly religious versus somebody who was irreligious and untutored. He says, it's as simple as all this. Don't you love Jesus? It's easy. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Bible says he took them out, he washed their wounds, and he preached Jesus to the whole family. But my point is this, the religious crowd that Jesus was working with needed a strong word. Repent. Do all kinds of things that are absolutely contrary to what the rabbis taught, what tradition has taught. Point is, this man was a decidedly religious man who was demonized. Not demon-possessed. That word is a misnomer. The demons cannot possess anything. What they can do is demonized. The word is demitsumai, demonized. They are controlled by the demon. They are not possessed. Remember that because somebody would say this, I don't think a Christian can be demon-possessed. That's right. Neither can an un-Christian be demon-possessed. They can be demonized. And a saved person can be demonized because the demons come by invitation only. You may know of the lore of vampirism. They can't come into your house unless you invite them or something like that. It's the same thing with you. You can open yourself up to a lot of evil influences. And by the way, the devil has always farmed out a little truth in all of his evil. He likes to take the light and turn it to darkness. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Be not deceived, therefore, that his angels are also come as ministers of light. My point is, this man was decidedly religious. He's demonized. He sees Jesus. We don't know what his history was, but it would seem that he had heard of the notoriety of Christ. He runs to Jesus. Now, there would be those, and, you know, we could talk at length about it in one hand or the other, and say, well, the demon ran to Jesus by compulsion, as if by magnetically being drawn to him. And the demon ran. But when you see it, it says, there met him a man. It says, and the man ran, fell on his face, and worshipped him. And Jesus says, come out of this man. And in the order of things, he says, what have I to do with you, verse 7, thou Jesus, Son of God? I adjure thee, by God, that you torment me not. Now, isn't it funny? It makes you almost snicker under your sleeve that the tormentor says, please don't torment me. Somebody said, how do you avoid demonization? That's a good question. You know, the Bible says that the devil walks to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, therefore, be vigilant. You know, that's true. He's seeking to devour whom he will. Well, how do you avoid it? Man, we're sinners. I know, right? Well, if I went over here and I put a plug in the wall and then I broke the plug off in the wall. How many of you ever seen something like that where the plug broke off, right? You see that plug, it's broke off, and there's these two little copper things. And what's the first thing that you're going to do? You're going to reach in there and get that out of there. That's in the wrong place. You won't do that very often. Do that one time, your hair stands up on end. You'll reach in there and touch it, and you won't do that again. The reason the devil is allowed to be out there messing with us is so that we'll realize there's something to be avoided here. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But if what we see is that the same way that you stay healthy physically is really a way to see how to stay healthy spiritually. How do you stay healthy physically? You eat right. You get plenty of sleep. You get plenty of fluids. You do the right things by your body, right? You take care of your body. How do you avoid the demon problem? You live spiritually pure. Somebody has said, demons are like germs. If you live a healthy life, they can't touch you. Isn't that a good word? Can you write that down in the back of your mind? Why do I have these narratives all the time? Why do I lack any kind of enthusiasm in my day-to-day? Many times it's because we've allowed ourselves to give place to the devil, and he isn't leaving till we turn the lights on. If you turn the lights on, they're like rats. They run away. Okay, so I'm doing a job here that's a little difficult for some to even hear if you have some of that static. Because the narratives are constantly, don't listen to him, don't listen to him, don't listen to him. But the Bible says, Jesus said, come out of the man, verse 8, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? Now, typically when Jesus said, come out, thou unclean spirit, it was right away. But in order for you and me to have illumination here, God allows this demon to stick around long enough for us to see the real dialogue that went on. What is thy name? And he answered him. Notice it's a singular pronoun. He answered him, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. That teaches us something about demons. Demons have authority structures. They have echelons, if you will. A legion of the Romans would number around 6,000 men. So here's a guy who says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I don't know that we need to assume that he had 6,000 demons in him. I think demons are prone to exaggerate, lie. But I think there were several in there. But I think he was a puffed up little twerp. Let's look at it for what it is. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that you and I are seated with Christ right now above principalities and powers? We're seated with him right now as believers, already seated with him in the heavenly places above all of this. So why are believers a mess? Because they got the 25%. They're not willing to dig in and get the truth and personalize the promises of the Scripture. And they're fighting with no weapon. They've got a shield. Yeah, I believe, but they're holding out. But they got no sword. They got no sword. And because they have no sword, they stumble. Well, the Bible says, what is thy name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. So also we learn they are territorial. Now we know this not only from this, but also we remember the prince of Persia, which would be the demon entity over Persia, resisted Gabriel coming to answer a prayer that Daniel was praying. He told Daniel when he finally arrived, he said, I would have been here when you started to pray, but the prince of Persia resisted me. Therefore, I could not come, but Michael, the prince of Israel, who is the defender of Israel, he came and helped me, and so now I am come. So, here's Daniel praying. He's not getting a word right away. Subsequently, he gets the word because now he's freed up from this territorial prince of Persia. Little things that we glean when we look at the Scriptures. That they have echelons, that they have territories. Please don't make us go. Now imagine if you were kicked out of Ontario as a demon and you went on the territory of the Lexington demons. Well, those Lexington demons would just be all, I mean, they'd be at odds with you. Get out. What? You got no place here. This is my place. Everybody's selfish. They're inverted and turned in on themselves, just like a human would be if he's allowed to go to seed. You know, you and I are carnal, sold under sin. We are given to our passions, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All of that is in the world. It is what you and I are made of and for. But Jesus saves. He does. And this man was demonized. And this man asks him to deliver him. And the demon begins to come to the fore. Please don't send us out of the country. Verse 11 says, "Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding." Now, if you know anything about Jews, you know that they're not allowed to eat pork in Israel, and this is swine, and these swine were not supposed to be in Israel's trading repertoire. They shouldn't have had stock in swine, okay? But these were a herd of about 2,000 swine. That's a lot of green, right? That's a lot of money. So we're talking about a real staple in the economic sovereignty of the local community. They saw these swine. And the Bible says in verse 12, "And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them." How many demons did I say? Legion? 6,000? 2,000 swine? I don't know how many were in there, but this man was messed up. What if you got just one? Might not be in the tombs. If you're demonized by just one, what kind of one might I have? Well, let's look at that for a moment. I think it's worth our consideration. If you want to, you can turn here, but I'll read it for you. It's in the book of Galatians in chapter 5. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's in verse 16. Verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance," which is to strive and always take the other side of an argument just because that's what works for them, "emulations, wrath." That's people who bite everybody. They yell and scream and throw things and kick the wall. "Strife, seditions." That's people who would undermine that which is good. "Heresies." That's people who would make distinctions in doctrine so that they could divide the church. "Envyings, murders." You ever heard of a serial killer? We can get that one. That one's easy, right? Why does this Ted Bundy keep going killing girls? Well, you ask him, and he'll tell you. He's on YouTube. You can go listen to his story. He was a Christian kid, brought up in a Christian home, got caught up in pornography. Next thing you know, he's a handsome guy. He's seducing, and he's killing, and he's killing, and he even goes to cities and a state where the death penalty was because he wanted to go to the tomb. And he, in his own interview, the night before he died, said, "This is the absolute right thing. I need to be put down." Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, "of which I tell you before, and as I've told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You say, well, can a Christian do such things? Well, the difference is doing and being. Are you a sinner today? We would say yes, because we've been taught, "I'm a sinner saved by grace." But is it not true that the Bible says you are saints of the living God? And when we understand that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done that saves us, but it's according to His mercy. And that once we are born again, we become sons of God. So start listing all the things it says about you. It says you are forgiven if you're His child. You are His son or His daughter. It says you are a saint. So you are a saint now who sometimes sins. And if you continue in a sin, the devil gets a foothold and it becomes what? A stronghold. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought. And so what we see is we see that those things that are deeds of the flesh, I would suggest, would be handles upon which the devil can get involved in a person's life. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.